Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church around the world celebrates the great feast of the Holy Trinity. I can recall when growing up, parish priests, when preaching on this feast day, they would say always, you know, the Holy Trinity is a mystery. It's something that we can't explain. And then they would begin to preach on something altogether different. Well, we can't do that. We must preach and teach about the Holy Trinity as much as we possibly can. Why? Because it's a celebration of God. Our faith is a Trinitarian faith. What I mean by that is we as Catholics believe in one God and three persons of God. If you look at our church doctrine, dogma, or sacraments, sacred scripture, or liturgy, it's heavily stamped with the Holy Trinity. Great example of this is our Mass. You know, it's heavily stamped with the Holy Trinity. What's the first movement of our Mass? What's the very first act in our Mass? We sign ourselves with the cross, don't we? We say, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. We invoke, yes, God's name, all three persons, when we begin our Mass, the highest prayer of our church. We invoke their names because we believe that all three persons are present now at our liturgy to help us celebrate the Mass. And so we acknowledge their presence, and we do that every time we pray. More to it, each time we sign ourselves with a cross, we recognize exactly where we are in proximity to God. St. Teresa of Lisieux recognized that. That's why she gives us that beautiful prayer, God in front of me, God behind me, God above me, God below me, God on either side of me, God inside of me. St. Teresa of Lisieux believed that she lived, moved, and had her being in that very Trinitarian community of love that existed between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We also live within that community of love. We live in the community of love that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We too own that prayer of St. Teresa of Lisieux, in which we believe God is all around us, as well as in us. Now, with that in mind, go to the sacred scriptures for this weekend. Very appropriate. The first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, and it says, Moses said to the people, ask now of the days of old before your time. Ever since God created man upon the earth, ask from one end of the sky to the other. Did anything so great ever happen before? Well, Moses here marvels at the work of God. God created everything. He created this universe, He created our lives, and He liberated the Israelites from captivity in Egypt. More to it, God now shows the Israelites that there is just one God and one Lord. Notice what Moses says. This is why you must know and fix in your heart that the Lord is God in the heavens above and the earth below, and that there is no other. Moses is reaffirming to the Israelites that there is just one God and one Lord. Now why? Why is he doing this? Because, remember, the Israelites, for many, many years, they lived in Egypt as slaves, and they were exposed to a culture that worshipped many pagan gods and goddesses. Therefore, Moses wants to make sure that the Israelites know and believe and reaffirm that there is just one God and one Lord, and that God has already revealed himself to them, as well as his name. You know, there's that classic story. Moses is on top of Mount Sinai. After speaking at great length with God, he then turns to the Lord before he goes back to the Israelites, and he says, "If they should ask your name, what may I tell them?" And God says, "I am." And so, if you look at Old Testament scripture, God slowly and subtly reveals himself to the Israelites. Go into the New Testament, and you see in the gospel, Jesus doing the exact same thing, slowly and subtly revealing the Holy Trinity to his apostles. Why? Well, because we are finite creatures. There's only so much that we can take in, grasp, and understand. While God is infinite, and therefore there's no way that we can possibly fully understand and grasp God. If someone tells you that he fully understands God, he's kidding himself. Now, a good analogy to this is our own parents. When we were little, our parents began to teach us the faith. What was the first thing that maybe our parents taught us? It was probably the sign of the cross. They probably taught us how to do the sign of the cross, what to say. Our parents started with the basics, and then they built on from there so that we can come to know the faith more and more. Well, in the first reading from Deuteronomy, we see just that. Moses and the Israelites learning the basics from God, that there is one God and one Lord, and that God has revealed himself, including his name, to the Israelites. Now, with that in mind, go into the gospel, and we see Jesus again revealing the Holy Trinity to his apostles. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Jesus reveals the fullness of God's being is found in three persons. Now, the Holy Trinity is at the core of our faith. It's one of the central tenets of our faith, and it should be. It's all about God. Therefore, I think what we have to do is seize the opportunity to learn a little bit more of the Holy Trinity so it can be revealed to us. What I want to do now is turn to St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas gives us a wonderful theological treatise on the Holy Trinity to help us learn more about it. He refers to it as the one and the many. Aquinas says there is a oneness of God. All three persons share something, and that's divinity. The essence of who they are is divineness or godliness. And yet, all three are many in terms of they are all different persons in God. I'll give you a good analogy to help you understand this a little bit better. Each and every one of us, we all share a basic characteristic or quality. You go anywhere around the world, regardless of our ethnic background or regardless of our race, creed, or color, we all share one thing, one common denominator. We are all human beings. We share humanity. And yet, there's also a many amongst us, Aquinas would say. None of us are exactly the same people. Even identical twins have different DNA. We all come from different families, different ethnic makeups, different socioeconomic backgrounds. We are all different. Aquinas would refer to that as the many. Now, take that and apply it to the Holy Trinity. Thomas Aquinas would say there is a oneness of the Holy Trinity of God. The essence of who we are is humanity. The essence of God, the Holy Trinity, is divinity. All three persons share divineness, godliness. That's the one. And yet they also have a many amongst them, or in terms of. Each and every person of the Holy Trinity is separate and distinct of themselves. The Father is not the Son or the Holy Spirit. The Son is not the Father or the Holy Spirit. And yet all are equal in power and grandeur and majesty. See, that's why we as Catholics can profess with great clarity that we essentially believe in one God and three persons in God. Now go back into the gospel again. Jesus is giving his apostles the Great Commission. Notice what he tells them. He says, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He tells them to baptize in all three persons of the Holy Trinity. He doesn't say baptize in the name of the Father or baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit. Instead, it's all three persons. Why? Because everything that we do in the Catholic faith is done in all three persons of the Holy Trinity. They are never excluded. One is never taken out of the other. Great example of this, again, go into our Mass. If you listen to all the prayers of our Mass, from the opening prayer to the closing prayer, every time in Mass, we are praying to the Father, through the Son, and union with the Holy Spirit. Refer to the Eucharistic prayer. The very beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, we immediately address the Father. Further down, we speak, or the priest speaks, the words of the Son at the time of the consecration. And those words, the words of the Son, have the ability to command the Holy Spirit to descend upon the altar and change the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. Every time we celebrate Mass, the Holy Trinity is revealed to us. And that's the beauty of it. One last thing. Go to the second reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Notice what Paul writes. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. Paul is telling us that we are considered adopted children of the Father, participating in the life of the Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit poured into our souls at the time of our baptism. Again, it's the Holy Trinity revealing itself to us. Now, when we hear that word adoption, as Paul uses it, what's the reference here? Entitlement. It entitles us to an inheritance, and that inheritance is held or kept in heaven. Paul continues on. He says, we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic for daddy, a term of affection. It's the same term that Jesus used himself when teaching the apostles how to pray. God considers us his adopted sons and daughters. And because of that, now the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are actively participating in our life. And because of that, now we are made heirs to the kingdom of heaven. Our inheritance awaits us in heaven. Stop and think about that just for a moment. If that doesn't take your breath away, then nothing will. Is the Holy Trinity truly a mystery? Absolutely. Will we ever be able to fully understand it? Absolutely not. Should that preclude or prevent us from being drawn into the mystery of the Holy Trinity? Absolutely not. Through prayer, the sacraments, through works of charity, penance, we surrender ourselves to God. And then God slowly and subtly reveals the Holy Trinity to us so that we are drawn into it, so that we are reminded exactly where we are in proximity to God. We live, move, and have our being in that Trinitarian community of love that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.